with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Again, Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Verses 38 through 42, Luke chapter 10. Then looking in the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 again. John chapter 2, starting at verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, it did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then that which is inferior. But you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went out to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days." Verses 1 through 12, John chapter 2. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the counsel we receive from your word each and every day. Thank you for the way that you pour grace, peace, power, light, and joy into our minds and our hearts and our lives as we take time to read and meditate on your word. And thank you for the privilege of spending time one-on-one with you as we spend time simply sitting at your feet, reading and meditating on God's word. Help us to grow much today in understanding of the need for this to be one of the high priorities of our lives, and empower us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. Let me remind you that if you haven't already started this in your life and in your lifestyle, today is a good day to start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every single day. I say that, I guess, on a pretty regular basis, or I say it significantly. And one of the reasons is because, sadly, there's so many individuals, so many believers that really have never been taught or encouraged to make it one of the high priorities of their lives to open the Word of God and spend time reading and meditating on God's Word every day. But again, if you're not reading the Bible every day, you don't know what you're missing. The reality is one of the most valuable things you will do today is spend time reading and meditating on God's Word. God's Word pours grace, peace, light, power, and encouragement into your mind, your heart, your life. You need that. I need that. Our children need that. Our grandchildren need that. Everyone does. Tragically, many people, their Bibles collect dust from one day to the next because that's not just a it's just not a priority for so many. But they literally don't realize that they're missing out. Amongst other things, the Word of God tells us in chapter 15, verse 1, God lets us know, amongst other things, he tells Abraham, "I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward." So part of what it means when you read the Bible, you're rewarding yourself. You're blessing yourself. You're encouraging your mind and your heart. You're blessing your life. So if you haven't started yet, today is a great day to start that habit of reading at least 3 chapters. And, of course, I The reason I encourage three chapters is because three chapters a day is a good basic spiritual meal. But remember this, with God's word, yes, it's food for your spirit, but the fact is there's no such thing as eating too much when it comes to God's word. It only increases the level of blessing, and it increases the flow of grace in your life. The more you read the word of God, the more of God's grace pours into your life through the reading and meditating on of God's word. So you need to start reading his word every day because God will bless you and do many important things in you and through you as you fill your heart and your mind with the precious word of God. Let me remind you once again, if you haven't gone to our website yet at urbanfamilytalk.com, I would encourage you to do that. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. And we invite you to go to the website and subscribe if you would, please. And we look forward to your interacting with us there. Also, number of blogs, number of very encouraging and uplifting and empowering discipleship articles you can read and find there. So I hope you'll take time to go to the website and take a look. Also, please get our free mobile apps that we've provided. Again, they're you can get them for your iPhone and Android devices, and just simply go to your app store and search for Urban Family Talk. And that's the way that you can take Urban Family Talk wherever you may go, when you're riding down the highway, when you're out maybe on your job or wherever else you might be. You can get, with the use of the app, you can get Urban Family wherever you may go. If you happen to be out of listening distance of a radio, or even if you happen to be in listening distance but prefer to use an app, we want to remind and encourage you, please take time to go by our Facebook pages. We've got two, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, whereby we do live stream the Hour of Intercession. Again, those two Facebook pages are Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live. Hope you'll take time to go by and take a look at both of them. And please pray for the ministry of Urban Family Talk and the ministry of the American Family Association. Urban Family Talk is a ministry division of the American Family Association. We very much need your prayers. Please pray daily for God to bless and anoint this ministry and for him to use us to accomplish that which he desires to use us for. The American Family Association as a whole, we want your prayers, and for Urban Family in particular as well. Please pray for us every single day. We would really, really appreciate that. Again, we looked at two different passages. That was Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, and then that was the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Today we're looking at the topic of having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. Again, having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. Now you may ask, what am I talking about? What am I referring to? Well, the story in Luke chapter 10 is an interesting story, a powerful story with many important life lessons for every disciple. But I want to share the story once again and really kind of break it down for you, because it has some very important lessons for you in your life and in your walk with God right now, even today. Reading it again, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, it tells us these words. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Now, again, as we look at this passage, as I've said, we're looking today at the topic of having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. Interesting story here. Jesus and his disciples come by and visit for a time in the home of Martha and Mary, two sisters. And of course, they both were probably very excited about having Jesus and his disciples to come and visit. Well, if you can try to take a snapshot of the picture of what's going on here, Martha is doing what one might would have expected. She was probably cleaning up and cooking and getting ready to host this house full of guests, and probably excited to be doing so. But at some point in time, she realizes that her sister Mary is not helping her. And when she does look, she sees Mary. If you picture Mary in the living room, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. Again, sitting in the living room, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him as he speaks. Well, if you can picture Martha, picture her where steam begins to rise out of her ears as she gets angry and more upset at her sister. And she's so upset at her sister, she doesn't address her sister. She might be thinking that she might would blow up if she talked to Mary. So she decides that she can more easily talk to Jesus. And it appears she's perturbed both at Mary and Jesus. And when she talks to Jesus, her words are, "Lord, don't you care?" So it appears she's even attacking Jesus's character because he's not telling her to do what she think, what Martha thinks Mary should be doing. And so her words to Jesus are, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Now, it doesn't cross Martha's mind that maybe Martha's thinking is not correct. In her mind, it seems that she's sure she's correct, and she's upset that Jesus is not thinking like her and hasn't told her sister already to get up and help her. And so she approaches Jesus, and basically it appears she's scolding Jesus all at the same time. In other words, she wants Jesus to say, "Mary, get up and help your sister." But notice Jesus' response. He responds very graciously, but very directly. He says, "Martha, Martha." Now remember, any time Jesus repeats something in this manner, he's trying to get the attention of the person he's speaking to. And keep in mind, very often in life as believers, God is trying to get your attention, and he doesn't really have it. Now, you know, the fact is sometimes we might think, well, of course he has my attention. When I'm in church, I hear the sermons, or when I'm reading my Bible, I'm listening to what's going on. Well, you know, we have to learn to really look at our own hearts and minds and be honest with ourselves, too. Because the reality is you can be listening to the reading of God's word or listening to a sermon or a message, but God not still fully have your attention. Why Jesus said a number of times, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Because sometimes we can hear without really hearing. Sometimes we can see things but not really see them. Jesus wanted to get Martha's attention. And a question you need to ask yourself today is, does God have my attention? And you know, when we immediately respond, "Of course God has my attention," you need to ask yourself again, does God really have my attention? Because sometimes what we're really doing is we're doing our own thing, living life our own way, and we're asking God to bless what we do, not realizing God has a different agenda from us. In this case, Jesus wanted to get Martha's attention to help her understand, "Martha, you're not thinking correctly." Notice what he does say to Martha. He says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." What is Jesus talking about, that good part? Jesus is talking about this fact. Mary has chosen to take time to be in a close relationship with him, to listen and learn at his feet. And Jesus is letting Martha know, Martha, Mary is doing the correct thing. And in reality, Jesus would have been glad if Martha had put her broom down and put the cleaning aside and come and sat down right next to Mary. Because keep in mind, it doesn't mean that you don't ever clean your house or you don't ever cook, not by any means. But at that point in time, Jesus was in their home. And he wasn't going to be there a long time. And Mary was doing the wiser thing, spending time one-on-one in a close, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In all of our lives, the most important part of our life is our close, intimate walk with God. What is that one thing? A close, intimate walk with God. That's a very, very, very important part of our lives. Yet for many believers, they couldn't honestly say that. They have that. A close, intimate walk with the Lord. We'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As we look at the topic of having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world, we'll be right back.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Recently, I was at my church and came in during the time of children's service. I was so intrigued on the topic at hand, Abba, Father. In Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Two things stood out to me, adoption and Abba. Adoption means to take someone as your very own. Abba is the Greek word for an intimate form of father, such as daddy. If you ever had a moment where you thought no one wanted you, I am here to remind you that from the beginning of time, Abba Father desired to adopt you into his family. That is why he sent Jesus. He saw you as valuable, significant, and worth dying for. That alone makes you a somebody. For Heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Victory McIntosh. Connect with us more at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Equipped with Chris Brooks.
This program is an apologetic endeavor. What I want to do is really train you in the art and science of defending and commending your Christian faith to people who maybe they've been hurt by the church, maybe they don't believe like you believe, and you're saying to yourself, how do I have an effective conversation with them? Well, we're looking for an evangelistic edge, if you will, that will allow us to more effectively, more contextualize the gospel so that we can reach men and women for Christ. Quite often, the on-ramp, if you will, is looking at culture and taking advantage of the conversations that folks are already having and saying, how can I leverage this to get people to talk about Jesus? This show becomes kind of massively significant to you if your desire is to reach people for Christ.
Get equipped with Chris Brooks.
Join me Monday through Friday at noon Central Time on Urban Family Talk.
Breath I breathe.
The music of Forever Jones, the song Every Moment. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. And again, I want to be real clear what the point behind the topic is. We're all called as believers to have an intimate walk and relationship with the Lord. Sometimes believers make the big mistake of thinking, well, preachers and clergy and missionary and folks like that should be really close to the Lord. But the rest of us, if we're just so-so, that's not big a deal. That's very, very wrong. God calls every believer to walk intimately with him. And that is very, very important. And the reason for that is because, again, remember, in this world, we're here for God. We're here for God's purposes. Our reason for being alive is to serve God, to know God, to serve him, and to walk with him, and to carry out his dreams, his purposes for our lives. Yet tragically, obviously, lots and lots of people are in the world who aren't saved, and so obviously they're not living out the will of God in their lives. But then again, there are lots of believers who are saved, but they're not walking out their calling. Every believer has one or more callings on their lives, very specific areas in their lives where God has gifted them, called them, anointed, and appointed them to do a certain work or works. Yet you have many believers that are going east when God has called them to go west. That's part of why it's so important that God gets your attention. And, you know, for those believers that say, well, of course, God has my attention. I go to church every Sunday. Well, keep in mind, there are a lot of people that go to church every Sunday, but God doesn't really have their attention. There are many believers today who are in a profession God never called them to. They're in an area of life or an area of work that God did not appoint them in and gift them to do. And they may be functioning and making an income, but lots of those people are very unfulfilled. Many of those believers are bored, to be quite honest, and many of them feel very empty in so, so many ways. The key is, as believers, again, the reason we need to have a Mary kind of heart is because, again, in this picture, and now remember, this is a story that actually happened, but very many important lessons can be drawn from the passage. Again, Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. Mary was spending time sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus and learning from him and learning more about God and the things of God. In other words, she was being discipled, sitting at the feet of Jesus. How do you and I sit at the feet of Jesus? Well, when you open your Bible and spend time reading and meditating on God's word, that's a part of how you can sit at the feet of Jesus. Jesus is talking directly to you when you read the word of God. Another way that you live a life where you're sitting at the feet of Jesus is you spend time with God in prayer. Prayer should be one of the high priorities of the life of a believer. Now, a question I want to ask every single listener, a very important question is, how much of a priority is it in your life to spend time reading the Word of God? How much is that really a priority for you? And how much is it a priority for you to spend significant time in prayer? You know, we sing the song Sweet Hour of Prayer, but the reality is there are lots of believers that have never in their life spent a whole hour in prayer. Sadly, many have never even spent half an hour in prayer. Prayer takes time and is work. It's spiritual work. It's kingdom work. And we need to make time for that. And we need to make time for time in the Word of God. So we sit at the feet of Jesus when we spend time reading and meditating on the Word of God. We also sit at the feet of Jesus when we spend time, significant time in prayer. And so it's important to know we're to live a lifestyle of doing that. Why? So that we can get our clear marching orders from God. Every believer has marching orders, but for many believers, they're far away from being able to hear with clarity what those orders are. So every believer is called to have an intimate relationship with the Lord. So as you look at Martha and Mary, both of them, remember it appears, both of them are believers. Both of them love Jesus. Both of them are glad to have Jesus in their home. But Martha is cooking and cleaning and doing other things. Basically that's what we can kind of assume from the passage, whereas Mary isn't doing any of those things. She's sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him. Now, again, I can't overemphasize how important it is to really understand the picture God is laying out before us, because it's a very, very important picture to look at. This is not a theology of why you shouldn't cook or clean up. Don't misunderstand me at all. Those things have their place and in their own time. But for many believers, we spend much of our life doing legitimate things, but we don't make it a priority to really spend time with God, reading and meditating on the Word, and we don't make it a high priority to really spend significant time in prayer. That's how we sit at the feet of Jesus and we hear from God. We hear counsel, wisdom, guidance. We grow in wisdom and our understanding of what God is wanting us to do, and we grow in our understanding of what God is calling us to do as well, listening to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Now, remember this. God talks directly to us through His Word, and He also talks directly to us by His Spirit. Now, God speaks by His Holy Spirit to every believer in the world every single day. Now, that doesn't mean that every thought that passes through your mind is the Spirit of God, but often those things that you think of are simply passing thoughts in our mind are often the voice of the Holy Spirit. And as you spend time reading and meditating on the Word of God, the voice, the clear voice of the Holy Spirit gets louder and louder and louder in your life. So you can know more clearly when God is speaking to you, and you know with a better understanding of how to respond in obedience. So we're called to live a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. Sometimes we need to leave off some of those things. Again, shopping is okay in its place, but some people spend lots and lots of time shopping, but they don't spend much time in prayer. Some people spend lots and lots of time watching television and being entertained. Now, keep in mind, entertainment has a place in life. But for many people, their God is entertainment. Their God is their television. It's their computer. It's their cell phone. It's what occupies it. Maybe Facebook for many people. It may be any of a number of things. But the point is this. Nothing is to come before our walk with God. The high priority, two of the high priorities of our day every day is, again, spending time in the Word of God, spending time in prayer and worship, and spending time one-on-one with the Lord, talking to Him and listening to Him. Remember, prayer is many things, and the fact is we can give lots and lots of different definitions of prayer, but amongst other things, prayer is talking to God and listening to God. It's talking to God and listening to God. And so the fact is, both are very, very important. And if I had to guess one being more important than the other, I would tend to think our listening is more important than our talking. Now, both are very important, but God gave us two ears and one mouth. And I believe one of the messages behind that is God wants us to do as much, twice as much listening to His Spirit as we do talking. Now, talking to God in prayer is very important, extremely important, but we should listen a whole lot. And we should work at hearing better and better. So the more time you spend both in the Word of God and in prayer, the better your spiritual hearing gets. So each of us is called, again, to live a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. At the feet of Jesus, we hear God more clearly. At the feet of Jesus, we receive marching orders for the priorities of our life. At the feet of Jesus, we come to know Him better and better, to know what He does want us to do and what He doesn't want us to do. It's at the feet of Jesus. So when you spend time reading the Word of God, you're spending time at Jesus' feet. When you spend time in prayer, you're spending time at Jesus' feet. When you spend time praising and worshiping the Lord and giving Him thanks, praise, and worshiping Him, you're sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's what we're called to do. So every believer is called to live a lifestyle where we spend significant time sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, for some people, early in the morning is a very important prayer time. Others, it may be late at night. Some people, many believers, get up early in the morning, may get up like in 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning and really spend time in prayer. Now, those believers that do that kind of thing, God can do special work through them. God can do lots of work through them because God knows He's found a child that is serious about being used of Him. So if the idea of you getting up at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. and really spending at least 30 minutes or an hour in prayer, if that's totally foreign to you and you'd think to yourself, oh, I could never do that, I would never do that, again, I'm really not talking about you if that's you. On the other hand, if you're someone who says, God, I want to be a greater prayer warrior that you can use to do great things and mighty things through, you should pray and say, Lord, help me to get up early in the morning to really spend time in prayer. And Lord, bless my prayer life. Now, let me say this very clearly. Everyone is wise to pray for God to really bless and anoint your prayer life. The reason being is because, remember, the Holy Spirit's already the engine behind prayer. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of prayer. And he knows exactly how to help you to become much more fervent in prayer. He knows how to help you to become much more of a prayer warrior. He knows how to help you to make the priorities of your life centered around your prayer life. He has no trouble doing that. But we need to ask him. We need to ask him. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. So for many of us, we need to pray for God to bless our prayer life. Let's take time to do that. Specifically, listen to what God is saying. Lord, thank you for our prayer lives. Thank you for the fact that you've called each of us to become mighty in prayer, Lord. For every single listener, Lord, bless each of our prayer lives, Father, indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it and keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. Lord, anoint our prayer lives. Set our prayer lives on fire, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Stir us to be believers that will get up earlier in the morning to pray, that will stay up later at night to pray, or that will get up in the a.m. hours of the night to pray, Lord. And Lord, empower us to be a people that will really pray, not just for ourselves, not just for our families, not just for our own concerns, but help us to pray much for the church. Help us to pray much for our own local churches. Lord, help us to pray every day for our pastors and the spiritual leaders in the body of Christ. Help us to pray, Lord, that you would send forth more laborers into the world as you directed us to pray. Lord, help us to pray for the things that are important to you. Lord, help us to pray and ask you to use us to help people to get saved every day. Help us to pray for matters of such as us being effective at making disciples and helping others grow up in their faith and become strong in you. Lord, more and more teach us and guide us and empower us to be a people that are listening to you and have a fervent and a passion to be used by you to bless the world, to be a vessel through which your spirit can reach and touch others, to encourage them. Lord, we love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. Lord, fill us afresh today with the spirit of prayer. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. So again, a wise thing to do is for you, amongst other things, every day, pray the prayer of Jabez over your prayer life. Because you know the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to help you to become the prayer warrior God wants you to be. And God is calling the whole church to be a church of prayer. In fact, he refers to the church as being the house of prayer. So it's a high priority for the Lord. So we need to be believers that are in step with the Lord. And one of the best ways for us to live in step with the Lord, of course, is to daily be in the Word of God and to daily be spending time with him in prayer. Again, each of us is called to have a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. And amongst other things, it will cause us to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in our lives. And he'll direct us for ministry purposes, to people, to circumstances, to situations where God's hand is needed. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, "The sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time, to know what Israel ought to do." In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at urbanfamilytalk.com.
It's not always easy to grant forgiveness to people who ask for it. But Dr. Tony Evans says that when they don't ask and don't deserve it, well, that can be especially tough. He'll tell us about a personal experience today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I remember the time someone ran into my car and then sped off. I didn't get their license plate. I didn't know who they were. Don't even remember the make of the car. All I know is my car had a dent in it. They hit my car, didn't pull over, didn't say I'm sorry, and wouldn't you know it, every time I saw that dent, I was reminded about that offense that they did to me. You know what I had to do? I had to go get the dent fixed myself, lest I live with anger about something I couldn't change and stay mad at a dent. When Stephen was being stoned to death in Acts chapter 7, verse 60, Stephen said, "Forgive them and do not hold this to their account." They were killing him. They were stoning him to death. And in the middle of being stoned to death, even though they never asked for forgiveness, he claimed their forgiveness. He looked up and saw heaven open up and Jesus standing on the right hand side of the Father. Why? Because forgiveness gives you a new level of access to God. So don't let the fact that the person who has hurt you has neither asked for forgiveness, desired forgiveness, don't care about forgiveness, because you're not willing to be held hostage. And therefore, by an act of your decision, you release them so you can keep going to your destiny. Because nothing will hold you hostage to your detours like unforgiveness.
Check out the latest edition of our half-hour daily program and sign up for Dr. Evans' free weekly email devotional when you visit tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of Mandisa, the song God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world, as we've looked first at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And again, remember, every believer is called to have an intimate walk with God. Many important things happen at the feet of Jesus. When you're spending time reading and meditating on the Word of God, that's a part of how you sit at the feet of Jesus. When you spend time with God in prayer and in worship and praise, that too is how you can spend time at the feet of Jesus. God pours grace, peace, strength, and encouragement into your mind, your heart, and your life. God replenishes us and empowers us to become more and more effective in the things of God and a more fruitful vessel in His hands as we do just that. An additional passage I want to look briefly at, John chapter 2. Now, in this passage, it has to do with Christ and his disciples and his mother. Now, his mother also was another Mary. Now, keep in mind, we're talking about actually two different Marys today on the broadcast. Of course, the first one was Mary, the sister of Martha. But In this passage, of course, this is Mary, the mother of Jesus in John chapter 2. And keep in mind, interesting thing about Jesus is the only person in all of the Bible who got to choose who his biological mother would be. And, of course, he chose Mary. He's the only person in the Bible that got to name his biological mother as well. And there's something about the name Mary. There are a number of Marys in the Word of God, and God uses them wonderfully in different ways. Remember, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she carried the Lord Jesus. She was the biological mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first person to carry the gospel after the resurrection was Mary Magdalene. And, of course, this lesson we're looking at today is centering largely on the life of Mary, who was the sister of Martha. Three different Marys, all of them with a very important life message that God is sending to us through their lives. So Marys are important in the Word of God. Now, of course, that doesn't mean everybody else is not, because every calling that God gives is an important calling. You are a gift to the body of Christ, and the closer you walk with God, the more your giftedness comes through and comes out and blesses the body of Christ. So staying in close, intimate relationship with the Lord makes you and your life a much greater blessing to those around you and to the world and to those in the body of Christ. So make it your goal to walk closely with the Lord every day. Don't see it as a chore. See it as a privilege and a blessing. Because again, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's blessing, there's peace, and there's grace. Staying close to God is a reward all by itself. The wisest life, the most blessed life you can live is in close, intimate relationship with the Lord. So again, like Mary, you want to live a lifestyle sitting at the feet of Jesus. Don't be one of these persons that will say, well, I'm just so busy, I don't have time to pray. What that means is you need to quit something or leave something else alone, because again, you don't need to be so busy that you don't have time to pray. In reality, it's an issue where we typically don't take time to pray like we should. Don't be one of these persons that will say, I'm so busy, I don't have time to read my Bible. Now, understand this. When something is first, you have time for what is first. So make it a priority to make these things you do early in the morning when you can. And again, typically, if we really want to, we can. So that which you make first is something that you're going to get around to, because again, with all the things you have to do in the course of a day, what you do first is something that you definitely will get around to because you put it first. God should be first in our lives. In chapter 2, interesting story about Christ and his mother and the disciples. It says, John chapter 2, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. But you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went out to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days. Again, that was John chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Again, we're looking at the topic today of having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. Now, I want to draw out a few important truths behind of things that God teaches us through Mary, the mother of Jesus, in this passage. Again, we're talking about two different Marys as we look at the topic, but notice this. In this passage, it points out that the mother of Jesus came to the wedding. It never says she was invited to the wedding. Now, it doesn't mean she wasn't, but the scriptures don't point out that she was invited to the wedding. However, it clearly points out that Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. Now, one of the truths behind that is that someone, probably the groom, was wise enough to invite Jesus to the wedding. Now, the fact is, in life, one of the wisest things for you to do is through your prayer life, invite Jesus into the affairs and the events of your life. It's through our prayers that we can do that. Through our prayers, we invite Jesus to come to help us to be a better husband, a better wife, a better dad, a better mom, a better worker on the job, a better lawyer, farmer, teacher, doctor, janitor, whatever you may do. Through prayer, you can invite God to come and help you do what you do even better. And we're wise to do that because even if you're really good at what you do, when you pray and say, Lord, help me to do this better, do you know he can do that? Notice that, again, probably the bridegroom was the one that invited Jesus. But notice that Jesus does perform a miracle. And when it's all said and done, the master of the feast points out that the best wine he had tasted was the wine Jesus had made. So even though the bridegroom probably had gotten the best wine he could get a hold of for his wedding, what Jesus provided was even better. And understand this, no matter who you are, through your prayer life, when you learn to pray about asking God to help you do what you do, even if you're good at it, God can help you do it better because he's God and God can do anything. So we're wise to fill up our lives with prayer because, you know, on any given day, God is ready to do more for you if you will simply pray more. Now, if you think to yourself, well, I don't know, that sounds a little bit too simple. Well, I'm sorry. It is simple. If you pray more, God will help you more with whatever you need help with. But the tragedy is, the Word of God tells us in James chapter 4, you have not because you ask not. Many things in life you have because God is just a good God and he gives them to you because he's good. But then there are other things that you will never get, period, unless you ask. So if you ask a lot, God will answer a lot. If you ask only a little bit, then you'll get a little bit of an answer. So keep in mind, wise people pray a lot. Wise people in life pray a lot about the details of your life because God stands ready to do more for you on any given day. So if you ask yourself the question, does that mean that I missed out on a blessing this morning because I didn't ask? That's exactly what it means. Did I miss out on a blessing yesterday or some blessings because I didn't ask yesterday? That's exactly what it means. Have I missed out on many blessings in my life because I haven't asked more? That's exactly what it means. Did you know in the book of Genesis chapter 1, it talks about the creation. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. To be hovering means he was just hanging in the air waiting. What was he waiting on? He was waiting on the orders of God because the Holy Spirit was the tool, the instrument through which God created. And he was waiting on the word of God. He was waiting on orders to go to work. And when God spoke and he said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit went into action to bring about what God spoke. Well, keep in mind, the Holy Spirit listens also. Remember, the Holy Spirit is God. He's listening for our prayers. And when we pray, God moves into action. Now, keep in mind, don't misunderstand. It doesn't mean that we're God's masters by any means. Because remember, prayer is not a blank check. When we pray outside of the will of God, God knows how to say no real quick. On the other hand, when we pray according to the word of God and the will of God, remember, God is ready and willing. And in fact, many times he wants to answer your prayer more than you want the answer. Because typically what prayer is, it's God's will being done through us. And God wants to bless you, and he wants his will to be done on the earth as well. So the more you pray, the more you will glorify God through your prayer life, as well as the more you will get answers to your prayers. So the fact is, we're very wise to pray and ask the Lord to bless our prayer lives so that we'll be wise enough to pray a whole lot. Not just for ourselves, but pray for obviously, your children, your grandchildren. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your brothers, your sisters, your uncles, your aunties, your cousins, because many of them are struggling through life and don't realize that if they're saved, they can pray too. And we should encourage and teach and encourage others in their prayer life as well. But if they're not saved, we need to share the gospel with them so that they can get saved and then learn how to pray to get God's help. God is ready to help any and all of his children if we would but ask. Again, James 4, you have not because you ask not. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and you receive, seek and you will find, knock, and the door will be opened. We're called to be people that ask and ask much. So after, again, in the passage here, when the mother of Mary realizes that they don't have wine, she comes to Jesus. Why does she come to Jesus? The scripture doesn't say that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was the director of the wedding. But remember, Mary raised Jesus from childhood into adulthood. This is Jesus' mother, and she knows Jesus, and she learned a very important truth about Jesus. Jesus, yes, that was her son, but even as her son, Jesus fixes problems. She knew Jesus fixes problems, and one of the lessons she's teaching us is Jesus fixes problems. So when she saw a problem, it wasn't even her problem. She went to Jesus on behalf of somebody else's problem. And you know, through our prayer lives, we can help other folks out. We can pray for them. Because when we come to Jesus in prayer, Jesus fixes problems. And so after she spoke to Jesus, she said to the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Now, very important point to remember from this passage. Jesus is instructing us through Mary. When you pray and ask God for guidance or help or direction, listen to the Holy Spirit for his voice, because many times when you ask God for help, God will tell you, do this or do that or go see this person, call this individual, because many times the answer to your prayer will come as you simply obey the directions of the Holy Spirit as a part of the answer to that prayer. So her instructions were, and remember, God is speaking through Mary, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Listen to the Holy Spirit and do what he tells you to do. Do what he tells you to do. And understand, remember this, the more you read the Word of God, the more you pray, the more you'll hear more clearly the voice of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to you. And remember, God talks to all of us every day. God actually talks to sinners a lot too. Sometimes we listen and sometimes we don't. But it's important that we make it our goal to listen a whole lot. Father, thank you, Lord, for every listener. Lord, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Set us on fire afresh with your Holy Spirit of prayer. Teach us and guide us to be a people that will pray and thereby more and more hear clearly the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and help us to be hearers and doers of your word and your spirit. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We've been looking today at the topic of having a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk.
Urban Family Talk.